I think we're all here. We can, and it's 7 o'clock, so I think we can get started. Just the first thing, for those of you that may not have heard yet, Mayor Renee Kemper passed away over the weekend from Douglas. So I'd like to keep her and her family close to our thoughts. And if you never had a chance to meet her, she was kind of an outstanding, tough little cookie down in Douglas. So very well respected. So City of Douglas and Kemper family, here, think about you. First on the agenda is personnel policy revisions and update.
There's really no update out of there. Then I do have a great red line version of this that I'll start sharing with some of you, or with all of you. There's more work to be done. I need to compare to some other towns, but that's all I have. I thought we should just give you an update that we're still working on.
Any questions on the still working?
Mm-hmm. Thanks for doing that.
Deer Park annexation.
You guys will see this tonight. We're going to just move forward with bringing it in as an R1 zone. That's the most restrictive, so we can keep our thumb on that when they go to develop it. We were looking at maybe rezoning something else now, but with that wide open parcel that's just vacant, it don't make sense to let them do whatever until we see what they come up with a plan for developing it. So I'm sure we'll see them in for a rezone here in the next couple months. But as of now, it's kind of time sensitive, these annexations. So we'll just move forward as the most restrictive R1 and then go forward from there. So Dennis has drawn up this ordinance to accept that. So you guys will see that tonight.
Did they sign a petition for annexation?
Yeah, it's already been passed through planning and zoning. There was just a hiccup with the zoning and stuff, but it's R1. It's the most restrictive, so we're safe there, so we'll move forward.
So the existing trailer use is just...
will be R1. If they go to do anything in the actual park that's existing, then we'll rezone it to like an RVP or MHC type zone, because that's what it is. I know it's kind of a backwards, but... even if it's R1, it's still the most restrictive there on that. So.
Will you have a vicinity map there tonight? Or?
I can, yep. Okay. I can.
Always helpful.
Good.
I think it's a campground there, isn't it?
Right, yep. Deer Park.
Other stuff around there.
Yeah, and then they have that big open chunk between Flatiron and them. It's just a big open parcel there. I don't know how many acres, but yeah. Okay. Good.
Any more questions on Deer Park annexation? Optional 1% resolution. Ruth, can you walk us through that?
Yeah, so I did email you what we've done in the past several years, some of you, I guess, council, and also a letter from Mike Johnson to a group that had first brought up that they didn't like how we were allocating so much of the 1% funding to outside agencies. And they said, I'm tired of hearing that you can't give raises or you can't buy new equipment or get the streets clean because you're giving all your money away. So they wanted us to keep more of it in-house, which has worked well for us. So what I had emailed you and what's in your packet are several years worth of this resolution that we passed, that this is just for the pool of money or the portion of that tax that we give to the committee members to, as they screen all of the applicants from outside agencies. So we did 25%, Mike Johnson's letter talked about 25% the first year at that time, and then the next year was going to be 20%, which was quite a step down from what we were doing. Council then, since then, has dropped it to 15% the last 2 years. And so the one that I've prepared is following that 15% guideline, and we did raise more money in that 1% tax based on the year that we will take these funds from. So that puts us at $210,000. Last year we were at $165,000. That just kind of shows you that 15% of what it used to be and 15% of what it is now. So it is an increase to the committee. If you want to stick with that guideline, if you want to go higher, lower. But it's probably time, whether we do it at this meeting or the next meeting, to determine this amount, because that committee is going to be meeting soon. We've had the deadline for the applications. I know it's on the commissioner's agenda today to do a 1% allocation. When we met with them a couple weeks ago, they said they needed to get information from Carla. So I called Carla yesterday and tried to pin her down of, well, what are you telling them? She said, they get this information every 2 months I don't know what. Finally, through our conversation, I think you're going to see them allocate about $200,000 today. Okay. So $210,000 is right in line with it. I don't know if you want me to put it on the agenda for tonight as this amount. We can also attend the commissioner's meeting and get their number.
Well, I know when I was on that 1% committee for 2 or 3 years, it was helpful to know at the start, you know, how you could back into it.
Yes.
No matter how much you put in there, as far as an intended allocation, it's going to be too small relative to whatever they ask.
Right.
So I think it helps the committee to have some ballpark guideline that they don't have. Unless we, you know, I don't know if we have to pass this resolution tonight or to say it's a resolution that we intend to pass, but we need to have some time, I think, for the members have some feel for where they're at.
Well, I think I'd like to hold that 50% guideline. It's still another 45,000. Additional than last year, and we're still holding our guideline of 15%. That's my thought on it.
That's mine too. I think that's quite rational. And,
are the applications looking as strong as ever? Do we have any idea?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's the same, not the amount we set aside for the committee to deal with, but from the 1% tax. We have taken quite a bit recently to balance our general fund, which is streets, police, parks, pool, city hall, council. I mean, it's most of the city. The last financial statement you got was January's. We right now need $300,000 from that 1% pool. We budgeted to do 900, so I don't know that we'll come in at the full 9, but we'll definitely be over 5, maybe 6. So the more you give to the committee, the less there is for us.
Right.
And of course, our goal is always to the stuff we don't end up spending, put away for capital improvement reserves, because there's always those. And that helps us, as we'll learn later, I guess. When we go to get some grant funding, we have to have a match on a lot of these, and that's where we get that money from.
Yeah.
So, shall I put it on tonight's agenda?
Does it put the committee in a bind if we wait till next meeting, just to see what the county does tonight?
No, I don't think they'll be meeting by.
I'll go to the commissioner's meeting and text out as soon as I know. With that.
Yeah. I just feel like they always wait for us to put our number out there first. Let's see if they can get their number out there. Let them set.
So if we learn theirs today, I can get that to you. And we can change the amount even as we need it tonight.
Yeah. And I'm happy communicating with the county and discussing what we're planning on putting out there. But I think it should be in line with the county.
No. I'll text it out.
Okay. Thank you.
From the commissioner. Any more questions on the optional 1%? Health insurance renewal.
So I said last time that we were probably going to get a 9%. They were thinking the trust was going to be at 13%. It actually, we have a 15.5% increase on our health insurance premium. So I have completed all of the census information. I need to take it to other companies to bid it. So I'll start that process, but I just wanted you to see the numbers in front of you. You see our current rates and the renewal rates. You add the $3,500 deductible. The city pays 80% of that premium, and the employee pays 20%. But you have to add the $3,500 deductible plus the dental, and then do that. Then if the employee chooses to buy up to one of the $2,500 or the $1,500 deductible, they pay the difference of, we pay 80% of that $3,500 deductible, and they pay the difference. So you can just kind of see where those are coming in. I will get you a bottom line cost of what this increase will do to the city, but also as we get our other bids in, we can go from there. I know the employees like this insurance. They know how to use it. And there will be, not that they can stop it, but they, if you polled the employees, they'd say, I don't want to change. I like this. But.
Well, that's good.
I think you can see why the increase when you look at the premiums and the claims.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're losing money, they want to recap some of that.
Julie, do you have any idea off the top of your head, if you can get back to this, but how many of our employees are taking the $1,500, the Cadillac plans, basically? I mean, they're all Cadillac compared to what I have, but
yeah.
Like the $1,500 plans, I know those are expensive, and I don't know if the city's ever considered looking at higher deductible plans for our employees that aren't quite as expensive premium.
So we have adjusted this a few times. When I started here, we had a $500 deductible, $1,500 Then we added the $2,500 deductible and dropped the $500. Then we added the. Now we can do a $5,000. There's options. We can do a $5,000 and drop the $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
We can also do a high deductible and an HSA where you put the money,
mm-hmm.
and the employees can put some into that also.
Yeah.
There are other options.
Gotcha. I mean, even a $3,500 deductible is quite small in today's world.
Yeah.
So $1,500 is insane. And I know they just get more and more expensive with the lower the deductible goes. Well, you can see it down here.
Yeah.
Is this included?
I think when you're looking at, like in the school district, our classified employees really need that, though, because they don't.
Yeah.
Their hourly wage, et cetera.
That's a good point, Mark.
Yeah. I'm like going, you don't want to price your insurance so that your employees don't take it, because then that hurts you.
Because
mm-hmm. you want wellness.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So are you with the school? I mean, do you feel like a 15% increase is? You can see on the bottom our history. Where there's 10 years of history.
Our insurance went up 13%. And again, when I look at these claims, the premiums up in this market, and based, and when you look at the past raises, I mean, there was 7% in 2020 and 8% in 2018, but other than that, they kept it relatively low in the insurance market. I don't know, this isn't, to me, not surprising with what we see at the school district, too.
Yeah. We do have, we had two on this last year, two large claims. Didn't actually jump over the
catastrophic.
Yeah, amount where they, after you spend so much money, then the trust picks it up. But in the past years, you can see that we've had some pretty healthy employees. And,
mm-hmm.
We're always shocked when we get a 2% or a 0% increase. So, okay, well, I will get those numbers, and if you have more thoughts of what I should be pursuing with this, let me know.
Thank you.
Any more questions on the health insurance? I was hoping people would say yes, because now we have to move on to budget. Budget worksheets.
So I have the budget worksheets that I'll be giving out to all of you for your departments before you leave today. And then right behind that on the agenda, I have calendars here for council that Well, that has your name on it.
Oh.
Oh. That one has his name on it.
John. And then what I want council to do, if you could just give me your schedule of when you're not available, and then a preference of the time to meet. Do you like 7 a.m. meetings? Do you like 4 in the afternoon? Do you want 7 p.m.? So you know what time you are available for some budget meetings. And then when I get all of your schedules together, I can set it up.
Well, I'm pretty flexible. So the only thing I don't like is late. You know, once if you have a meeting that starts at 6:30 or 7, that's not as important as when it gets over with.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of us do as good a work in those circumstances if we meet on an afternoon from, you know, I don't care about it, really. Just stay away from nighttime. There might be some departments where you can't avoid it. You say, well, I have to do one of them.
Yeah, so as you meet with department heads, they're here all day, so we could probably pull them in whenever. And then severance tax. It's about $80,000 that you hand out to 10 or 12 groups. And we've in the past couple of years, we've had them just turn it in writing. If you want to sit and interview all of them, you know, a 20-minute interview, we can set those up too. It seems like every time we have new council members, it's great to meet all them. But after you spend 3 hours, 4 hours with this and realize you have $80,000 to divide up, you go, that was a lot of time that we spent just to hear the same thing. So do you want to meet with them? Do you, and here's what I can do. I can get their request in writing, hand them out to you, and then if you guys decide that you want to interview some of them, we can set up those interviews. Why don't we go that route?
I like that
room. Are these department?
It would be like the Children's Center, the YMCA.
Oh.
The chamber, the...
That's in addition to the 1%?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yippee. Okay. That's all I have on those, I think.
I didn't tell you about 9 meetings. When I was first city attorney, Sam Rosenthal was the mayor. And we met where the parking lot is here. What was the name of that?
No, I was in it once because there was a jail there.
The top floor, and Sam took care of all the business in the daytime with all the council members. There was never any real issue there or came, so everybody could come in and talk. And the council meeting would start at 7 at night and usually get over about 1 in the morning.
Mike's out.
Because anybody could come in and talk, and he never interrupted or he never stopped anybody from discussing anything. Talk about, you could talk about Washington, D.C. You could talk about Mexico. You could talk about anything you wanted to. And everything would go. And we'd get home about 1 o'clock.
Yeah, nothing.
One time.
Oh, that was bad when you used to have to ring the bell if there was a fire someplace in town.
Yeah, there's a bell on top of that building. That's the one that sits up there.
Yeah,
that fire
was there that took the fire. Off of this building.
Well, this used to be the Idaho, right?
This used to be the Idaho Confederate.
It was a lot funner than police when it was Idaho.
Okay, so I think we've went over the budget meeting schedules.
Just real quick, Myra, I'm guessing your schedule is going to be, because I'm pretty flexible on that too, like Mike, and so what's...
Right, I can do Friday afternoons,
okay.
Noon on, anytime after 4. My spring break, I know Terry will be around April 3rd through 7th, and the only time I really can't is because I'm floating the Grand Canyon, is April 18th through
26th. Lucky you.
Going to go around the horseshoe?
All 188 miles.
Wow. That's awesome.
Take sunscreen.
Bucket list. That's water.
That's cool.
How about the end of your regular day? Is it's that in 4?
I can probably leave at 3:30.
Okay. Oh, but we can do 5. I mean,
yeah.
And Scott, what's your schedule?
I'm pretty flexible. As long as I know in advance, I can adjust my schedule accordingly. So.
Okay.
And I just have like a week this month I'll be out of town at my grandson's wrestling tournament. And then some training over in Gillette in May.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Anything else? Sandbags.
We do have sandbags. They're okay. Already filled. I don't know what kind of shape they're in. They are covered, though. We have several pallet ones.
There's some people that are getting a little panicky about the snow melt. And I've been asked a few times. That's why.
And those are available to anyone? Is that what you're saying, or what?
Anyone.
That's nice of us.
Do they just go to the city yard?
They're out at the Hanson place.
Oh, okay.
Up by the Wish Water Plant.
It's good to encourage people to do their own sandbagging. There's only so many.
We let them come and get them.
Folks around the place to do that. We've got a bunch of it, but the homeowners can take care of their own. I mean, if they're physically able.
I've been in fire for sandbagging in old days.
Emergency management has some.
They've got, because I know a few years ago they were giving away the free bags you could go get them.
They haven't got a dedicated pile of sand yet. Because it'd just be broken.
And one thing, aside from the sandbags, that the staff can probably do this from now until mid-May or whatever you think it's time to really get serious, but just to kind of do an inventory of things along the creek, because the biggest danger, I went through the Rapid City flood, years ago, and the big problem we had is stuff like you would think would matter, like picnic tables would wash in there, and that comes, and then that'll catch something else. And next thing you know, you got a big dam built. And usually it's right underneath the bridge, which is something we don't want to lose. But I'm not saying that you have to run out and do anything drastic. But we've got, I was up there, I can't remember what street was out in Western Town. There's a couple of places I saw that had, these weren't city lots, but people had junk cars sitting along the creek. That's just asking for it. And I don't know if we have any power to tell these people to move the junk away from the creek. But it's has a social dimension to it. Lose a bridge. So. And there's others I've seen too along below the main downtown area. Stuff sitting right around by the creek was never a good idea.
I've been in touch with Marilyn. We've talked about and have a contingency plan, and we have the Code Red system. So the closer we get, I think we can put out a message, stating just that, like be mindful of your belongings, what's being parked down. So. And as closer it gets, we'll meet again and go over our contingency plan for, evacuation if need be. And but with having that Code Red system, we can get that message out to everybody via phone with a message just to remind people of that. So we'll be working closely with her as the time goes. Yes, sir.
Gomer had a good point. Yesterday, I think it was, that we have, I know.
Oh, there's so many. so many.
We have a lot of snow in town, too. Yeah. I mean, so we're going to have some flooding just from what we have on property.
I think initially that's our biggest deal is people making sure that their snow is properly placed away from their foundation, which I know that I haven't. So, you know, that's going to be a big deal. And the streets are going to be poor. That'll all happen long before the cracks start coming.
Hope for a cold spring.
Yeah.
Not too fast.
And then in July and August, they'll be complaining that there's no water on the street.
Yeah.
Smoke and air will tell you the best.
Yeah.
Time.
And I appreciate all the sand because of the slick roads, but then it's so dusty.
It's never ended up. Mm-hmm.
Let's keep putting that sand down. I'll run her through the car wash.
Could you sweep it up, you know?
Yep, that's always the case, especially down on Main Street.
Yes.
Well, and then we get those letters about Buffalo being a dirty little town.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
It just snowed yesterday.
Perfect. California's a nice clean city. The grass is nice.
Okay. Anything else on sandbags? Wastewater plant house.
So we have an officer living in that house right now that we rent the house that's out by the wastewater plant. We put that house in there for the plant operator years ago, and then the plant operator doesn't live there anymore. So we've rented it out, and we've rented it to a couple officers over the years, and this officer is leaving. Do we know when?
He'll be here till... He's working until the end of March, so I'm thinking probably April.
Okay.
So he extended it to staying in March.
Okay.
He's just waiting for his employment status to transfer.
I just have lots of interest in it. I have a couple employees, someone who's dating an employee, just lots of people that are interested. So I don't know how we're going to go forward with this because they're all calling me saying, who's council going to rent it to? So do you want to come up with a process of how to vet these?
Mine's better.
So I like it.
What has there been, like when you're interviewing guys, has there been more interest, less interest, if you can say, and we have a rental for use, or they're not trying to hunt a house in town?
Right, so we've actually just hired a dispatcher last week, well, a dispatcher and an officer. One, the dispatcher, I think, has a contract on a house, and the officer was already here. He was retired from another agency, and that's what we've been getting a lot of our feedback from, or folks like me that left big agencies and are moving and they're looking to jump in, so they usually already have housing. We actually have testing on Friday for a couple folks interested in stretch position. So it seems like most folks already have a housing, believe it or not. However, we're losing one because we couldn't find a house. So that's why Shrek's leaving. And it comes down to money and running the family, and she can't find affordable housing to, you know, do what he needs to do. So, but yeah, I mean, that's an option. But as of right now, no, I don't think we, yeah, it's good thoughts.
You see, you lose a good candidate,
right,
because they can't find a place to live,
right,
and there's one there.
Right.
You so, know.
And I might be able to answer that better on Friday.
And that would give these guys a little better direction.
Right. So,
have we ever had multiple parties interested in the house?
No.
I do have a preference of the two that are looking at it, so I'll let you know who that is.
In your department. Okay. Yeah, and then we have a couple others, so.
All city employees?
One date's a city employee. The others are city employees.
Is the rent in line with market?
It's $9.50 a month and a deposit of $9.50. I think it's low now compared to what I see with others. But and how many bedrooms is that?
It's three.
Three
with two baths, I think.
Yes.
Didn't have a new roof? No.
Probably. And then we got the siding fixed last spring.
I don't remember what all we fixed on it.
We did some repair on it, not our new roof.
And you can't beat the view to the south.
Something that's been nice about having an officer there, the last few have been officers, is that people kind of don't mess with the place because there's a cop car sitting there.
Makes sense.
My thought was if it, the rent needed raised, this would be an opportunity to.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I suppose we can look at how many children and pets and everything else we have.
That's something taken into account there. The kids and stuff running around that plant and the ponds and everything else up there.
And pets in a rental.
And we've allowed them.
Do we have a blank copy of the lease? That we
I think that it send the lease out to you guys to look at, see if there's anything you think we could add to it. But I don't, for now, I'll just take letters of interest.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then we'll probably clean it and stuff after they leave. And so it wouldn't be available until, I don't know, we don't know for sure when he's leaving.
End of March.
Yeah, end of March. I mean, he's on the schedule at the end of March. He told us he could work till the end of March. And so,
okay. So by the 15th of April, we could have him out.
Mm-hmm. And if anything would change, it to know, but right now he's definitely here till March. So.
Okay.
So we can approve it next month, department head meeting, we can make a decision.
Not every department head
meeting. Or not, or yeah, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Prepare for the at council meeting the 4th. So. You decide.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, June. Local government projects, ARPA grants, Sunset Avenue, water and sewer.
Well, we did finally receive some ARPA funding for the Sunset project, and it was for the full ask of $2,427,250. And so that total project is $3,004,176. So the city's match, we're pulling $288,463 out of the Water Enterprise Fund and $288,463 out of the Sewer Enterprise Fund, making our match $576,926.
Less on that street, Ben, I talked to Chief Gammon a little bit and some of his, just because I had him cornered the other day. He didn't want to jump out of the van while we were going down the street. But what are your thoughts on backflow preventers? Let me put that in. The pluses and minuses.
They need to be somewhere where they're accessible so they can clean them. I know I have one on my house. And mine's in my crawl space where I can get to it. But yeah, they're a great idea.
You're saying the city pays for those?
Well, I'm just wondering if that's... I don't know how they work, if that's a homeowner.
It's a homeowner.
Okay.
They'd be out of the city right away.
Okay.
It's the same thing. You've got it, if you're, you know, like his, where it changes crawl space, that's great, but most of them, the buried ones, like we were talking, two goes down, and you have to pull the flap to run a, you know, have to rotor rooter. They're back in. There's a maintenance issue to them. I've never seen the plumbers really pushing them, but they work. I mean, they're better than nothing unless there's something, you know, the Barbie doll or something's come down and hangs that flap up in there.
So there's going to probably be another round of ARPA funding?
Yes. And actually, they're calling it the Water and Sewer Fund. So I don't know if this is state money or if it's more federal. and they have not set a date when they're going to release that.
Is there a time frame that we have to use that money by, Les, or when is that?
2026.
2026?
It'll be gone.
So this one, our next step, we'll get a package of documents that we'll take to council at a council meeting to accept the award, the grant award, and then we'll go to bid on the project?
Yeah. So I talked to Brent actually the day we got this, and so now he'll send our water and sewer plans to DEQ for a permit to construct. And that's a 45-day process.
And that's all a sunset from?
From Cedar to the end.
Nice. And that's infrastructure and surface?
Yes.
That probably would have been in end of May or?
I hope it's sooner than that. Our pricing isn't going to be very good.
Let's see what we can then.
Yeah,
run the bid.
And we can go to bid without that permit to construct. Matter of fact, we've done it a few times. And then if something changes the price of it, we just add an addendum to the bid package.
Probably get, go to bid before the middle of April or something to get it early price.
I'd like to do it before the end of March.
That sounds good.
That's some good news. Any other questions on that project? Major capital construction projects updates.
There's not really much to report. They do have some warranty work to do on Fetterman at the intersection of Juniper and Fetterman. There's two panels that we're going to make them remove and replace. Flatiron is completely done. And the Wells project is ongoing. So they did send a set of plans to DEQ and Water Development Commission. And they had a line coming from each well to one central location. And what we had told them we wanted was a manifold line. Run one line through to the end of the project and then bring the wells into it. They were going to double the cost of the pipe and trenching. So now they're back to redoing it.
Any questions on major capital construction?
What, I guess, clarification on the whole when we can run those and can't run those things? I mean, what did they classify as an event of when we could run that, run those wells?
Well, we'll run them whenever we want.
Okay.
We just have to be sure we don't exceed our water right coming out of the creek.
Oh, it's got to match that. We're going to make that count as part of that?
Partially. So the well, the existing well that's up there, the artesian well, is permitted for 700 gallons a minute. That's above and beyond our water rights from the creek. But yeah, we can run them whenever we want. Well, we'll have to run them once in a while because you can't just let them set.
Right. Right, absolutely. Okay.
How about the Main Street Alex?
That has been bid, and construction will commence hopefully in April. Barnum Construction won that bid.
Does that have an end date on that?
It does, but I can't tell you off the top of my head what it is. Their start date is as soon as the cross goes out, is the way it's written.
So I think as we start seriously talking about that, we should maybe start communicating with the businesses that at least which side we're starting on. And I mean, once we show up, they'll know. But
they'll be glad to see it.
When you hear the gunshots, you'll know it's there.
Yeah. I'll just send them to Terry. I don't know. Ask Terry. He's in charge of that.
I know they've been surveying the alley and stuff. Yeah. They started that through the ice.
You get a new driveway.
Well, you can't find it. It's under about 3 feet high.
So you're saying it'll be a while before construction starts?
Yes.
Bar and grill license public hearing.
So we were waiting for the legislature to do what they were going to do, and so they've changed it. Now, I think Tom Martins is just going to wait now. He's not so on fire to get that one that's left because that the problem's been taken care of. Do I just advertise for the next? Do we just wait until July? Because in July, it all changes. We will have 3 bar and grill. Right now we have 1 that can be issued, and we'll have 3 that can be issued in July.
It's my understanding, though, we could put one of those, the one that's not issued, we could put it to work,
yes.
Like this well, month, next
that's
month.
That's my question.
So if the Johnsons aren't ready to open their doors, I say we put the license to work.
So, license to work, because Renee, okay, and she would sell 1. Will that one be used? When will that one be used? Do you know?
3 weeks.
Okay, that was my question. It's like, if it's July before that one's ready to go.
But does it matter? If
no,
we're going to sit on them all anyway.
Right, I'm saying it's not... we're not putting anything new to work.
Right. We're just putting what we have to work, which isn't at work right now.
Yep,
right. But she's still open under a different license.
But we have a bar and grill license not being used right now. We can utilize both a full retail and a bar and grill immediately. So I say we do that and not wait until July to get
okay.
2 licenses.
So going. We'll need to advertise a public hearing. Do you want that at the next council meeting?
Yes.
They should have their applications in for the, not tomorrow, tonight, but a week, 2 weeks from now.
Yep. And we have the applications, so we just need to
advertise.
Any more questions? Burgers and beers. Department head, Julie.
Just a thought. Do we want to... when would our next election, general election be? It'll be 2 years? Do we want to pursue another specific purpose option, specific purpose tax? Because it has sunset. And I was just hearing Fetterman has some punchless items. Flatiron is done. Do we... And I wonder if we could, because we may have some money left on those projects that can only be spent on that, we could write the ballot question that any leftover from that could be used towards the next. But do we go with some more streets? And right now as I drive around the streets, they're all potholing and just like they do. So
I think you need to.
Yeah.
You're going to make any progress.
Can we... I know we're working on a capital improvements plan, but there was a list of streets. I think we had like 13 or 11 streets, and we pulled 3 or 4 off now. I look at less because you could maybe help prioritize which ones, and we can start with how we're going to write it. It's going to take us a while to get the dollar amounts, and because... there's probably going to be another group that wants to get on the ballot with specific purpose, and if you play your hand right now, then everybody knows that the city's going for the specific purpose act.
Is everything sunsetted now? The last one or whatever, the 1%?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everything's done on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we pass it in 24, tax wouldn't start till spring of 25, and we probably wouldn't start projects till later that year to have money to do it. Yeah, it'd be worth to get on the process.
Yeah, I can agree that
we have to start in the process of
okay.
planning for it.
That's yes. Everything
two,
on my head.
2 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Sounds a good thing. Thanks for bringing that up.
Julie.
Terry.
Meeting with our water committee. We're breaking down all the past, I don't know, I think there was 20 some water studies done in the past from 1980 something till now. So we're compiling all those water studies, and we're going to bring them all together and see, basically break down the bullet points and what they were looking at as far as projections of population and water growth and items like that. So April, we're going to meet again on that and compile those findings from all those studies to see whether we really need another study or not. Other than that, we're still working with Marilyn Conley and the county on the hazard mitigation. I turned in some of our updated forms on some of that stuff, so she's going to compile that and get it into FEMA. Loves did make the application for outside city water, so we're looking at that. It does, that chunk of land has, well, that and several around it have a great 1880 water right, or 2 CFS, but it has no historical use, so it can't be transferred. It's basically dead in the water. It's one of the best water rights in Buffalo, from my understanding, talking to the state superintendent, engineer's office, that is, but it's combined with BYCAM, Wildac's office, Barnum's shop, and a couple other there. It's a 1880, that splasher ditch. It used to be called splasher ditch there, I guess, and right now, I guess, we need to figure out, since we can't annex it in, if we do give them the water, part of the contract saying, hey, if laws ever change or statutes ever change where they can bring some of these dead water rights back to use that our names on that, I guess it's the best thing we can do right now because it's not transferable and basically not usable at this point. That's one of the things. If we did try to get it now, when we try to petition it, you got to get all these other 1883 and 1880 that come out ahead of us for the diversion point to sign off on that, which they're not going to do because they don't want you to use that water right before they get their water right. So it's a fight, but that there is one there, so something to keep in mind. I think when we write that contract user agreement with Loves, that we have something in there for that right, that if it ever does change, the rules change, because litigation may change where they see these municipalities needing water and a lot of these abandoned water rights. Hopefully they start doing something where we can bring them back and use some of them. So, mm-hmm. So we're looking at that application. That'll be on this month's agenda for planning and zoning.
Terry, I think we ought to think about, I've talked to you about annexing that, and we are not contiguous there for that 7.8 acres that Loves is going to develop. But it's next to that Horizon Management property, which is Velasquez's property, which he apparently didn't bring in when he brought in that Greenleaf addition. But I'm wondering about going to all those landowners and seeing if we can't move. Dave Stewart's got a piece in there, and then Velasquez's piece, and then this piece, to bring them all in, because then we can control it better, as far as that goes. And I don't know where you're going to loop that water line to the west from Love's Travel Center. Do you know where that...
That'd be... Deer Park just ran a new line there, right, Les? Deer Park ran a line from Flatiron to the end of their property, basically, so we would hook onto that and continue that way, continue east with it. And make that gap, bridge that gap.
But do we need easements to get to that?
We will, yeah.
Yeah, so we could do that with the annexation. You could set up that where that line is going to go to the west and get that secured for putting that loop in, right?
Yeah.
So I just wonder whether we ought to be pitching to those other landowners and do a petition to bring in those pieces all at the same time.
That might work. the Velasquez's are doing something right now with some sewer, and my understanding is they might need water at this point now, too.
They will need water, definitely.
And so that may play right into that where they've got to anyway, but definitely we can get the ball rolling. I can talk to them and see.
It's because that makes more sense to, instead of piecemealing it in, if we had it come in as a
big chunk,
whole plan, we might get developed better.
Okay. Yeah, I'm having Nelson look at a rough estimate of what that cost would be on that water line from Love's to Deer Park, to kind of see what dollar amount we're talking about and where that fits into who picks that bill up for connecting that to make our system work right. So just to get some sort of monetary dollar value on that to see what we need to do. I mean, we can impose some fees and stuff on, one-time fees and stuff on Love's for a dollar amount of some sort. And so I think we need to look at that dollar amount, what that costs to make our system complete and go from there. So they're going to put together some rough numbers for us.
I've seen some other communities, business councils, awarded funds for other communities to extend infrastructure for development. Or I was thinking that maybe the new ARPA grant for water and sewer, there might be some funding, grant funding somewhere to put that infrastructure line, just to basically to ties our system together and makes that loop. I think we got the money for the Northwest Loop Pipeline. Maybe we can search for a grant opportunity.
Water development.
Grant opportunities to somehow to fund that line, to because it would be much more beneficial to have a loop if something ever happens. You have an alternate source. Keep the water moving. So,
well, just for pressures, I don't know what are your pressures like down there for fire mitigation down there on there.
We're reducing it.
Oh, okay.
So when it gets to the end of the line, it's up to 80 pounds again.
Oh, okay.
So you have the wastewater plant, it's 80 pounds.
Wow. That's all I know.
Like I said, we have two new employees just started. One big project we did was our evidence room. Hadn't been touched probably in about 40 years. So luckily, Officer McCarter has been on light duty, has been assigned evidence management, and we are now where we need to be. It was a mess. So, and Julie, we had talked about the one vehicle with the engine that had blown and possibly looking at auctioning, so we have some things that might be able to fit into that, Julie, to make some money out of some of the items that we have that we didn't destroy. That was a huge project. We got that done. I'll get some more numbers for tonight, but one big number is talking to Rod. We've had 37 felony arrests since January 1st, which is, I think, like a record here. We've been working very hard, both agencies together, making one arrest, dumping phones, the technology that we have, and just going up the line. A lot of that comes, the majority of those arrests are drug arrests. We've taken, several ounces of meth out of search warrants that we've done throughout. Felony amount of marijuana, obviously the fentanyl that we've had. But we've been working very hard, so that's a huge number that I'm proud of. I know that doesn't sound great, but with that being said, we're sending the message that it's not welcome here, we don't want it here. Whether you're in the city or the county, you're going to see us, and we're coming. And the jail, I think Rod said this, the jail is as full as it's ever been since it's open. And the funny thing is, just kind of listening to phone calls and whatnot, everybody is down looking over their shoulder and worried, and they're, oh, I just heard so-and-so is in here. Who is it? Who do you think it is? They're betting on who's got locked up that day. So I think that's a good thing. Usually you would think January, February would be slow. It's been very, very busy, but that comes with the proactive policing that you're seeing, which is a big difference in what's going on around the country. So I'm super proud of everybody that's done that. So, and I'll get some more numbers for y'all tonight, but that was probably my biggest. But and other than that, everything's still can't get a hold of the truck. We had a new truck that finally came in. It was in Cheyenne, and then they called and said, hey, let you know, our lot got broken into and all our catalytic converters got stolen. One of which was one of our trucks, so they're 2 months out on a new catalytic converter, and then it has to be up to standard before they deliver it. So
How many years have you been trying to get this truck?
2.5 now. This is actually 1% money that was 2 years ago. Yeah, so. So yeah, yay. Finally came in, and then they cut the catalytic converter out. So.
We'll probably get the new truck before that one.
Probably. Well, I don't even know. The bill, you know, for the one that we had last year, 1%. Is still
have security.
Still waiting.
Yeah, no kidding.
Other than that, that's all I have. So.
That's fun.
Yeah.
We've just been working on ice removal.
Ice and all that.
Tired of ice. Back, well, tearing it apart now, which is the first time we've ever done that. But we have places that deep. Wherever the sun don't shine, the water runs. The water runs and gets to the shade, and it piles up right there.
And then you get ruts from the traffic. And there's some ruts that are 8 inches deep.
Yeah, they're dangerous.
You can get stuck in.
Anything else, Mark?
That's all.
Chief Keelan?
Yeah. No, we had a pretty good-sized hazmat class this weekend. Had some folks from Colorado and Laramie County came up. Almost everybody was leaving. It was local, but it was a good class. State did. It's everybody's favorite, but it's got to be done.
That's all. Legal.
Well, I've been working with Terry about that annexation or possible annexation of Loves. I'd like to see that happen. One of the things the annexation does, it transfers the water rights to the city in the ordinance. So if those rights have any value, but the way it is now, you cannot annex them because they're not contiguous. That property is not contiguous to city limits. So it's like across the street, which is, you know, a hodgepodge of agreements to people that, to owners that are not in the city. So,
Dennis, now what, I guess, stops us, you know, a lot of these outside city water connectors agreements we make say when you become contiguous, you'll give us our water. What's there, a statute, something saying, no, you give us our water right now. We're giving you water and you give us your water. That's,
we like, can do that.
I mean, that makes way more sense to me than wait until they're contiguous. If we're going to give them water, we say you give us your water right now.
The issue of giving the water right, usually, even though it's an 1880 water right, It's very difficult and expensive to get that transfer to the city for municipal purpose. You change the use usually from ag to municipal use, and that's a shrinkage that they apply.
Right.
And so
50%.
It can be up to 50%.
50%.
Yeah. And so it doesn't become economical necessarily to say, give me water. We never transfer. We transfer. The only water right really this city has bought, transferred, has been the one that was on the old farm, something farm company, which is where the Holiday Inn sits. There was 160 acres there of property that a long time ago the city bought the water. Transfer, but it took forever and it shrank. They shrank at 50%. So, it's hard to do.
Unless it's a big, great water. Right?
Yeah, unless you're dealing with a large quantity of water, you can justify the expense.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not.
Okay.
Anything else from legal? We'll just do board liaison updates and council items at the same time. Councilwoman?
Trails is going good. Planning's going good.
Any council items? Councilman Matt?
YMCA met a couple of weeks ago. They're doing a parking lot in front, landscape improvement this summer. They've got some funds set aside for that. They're looking at trying to improve lighting in front of the
building the parking lot, thinking about trying to add a couple street lights there somehow. I don't know.
There are two more there that are shut off right now.
Okay. But they were trying, they were thinking even when they redo the parking lot, they might run some conduits out there so they could add a couple more lights in the median or something necessary. If they're looking for trying to find lighting options. I didn't know. Well, the city would have some a couple of years back in 24 to replace all those, but I don't know. They're just trying to find ways to what's out there available to possible help them with the increasing lighting and parking lot safety there. So, let's see if that.
Anything else, Scott?
That's all, I think.
Councilman Ben?
I just had a question on our reservoir up on the mountain. Who's the dam tender? Is that the Bureau of Reclamation? Or
for Tyhat?
Our reservoir up in the
Tyhat.
Tyhat. Who's the dam tender? Who watches that?
Our water treatment plant.
What?
Our water treatment plant. We run it.
You run the dam?
Yes.
Yes.
Somebody told me they were up there on a snowmobile or something. It looked like the dam was plumb full. I'm just a
probably
layperson at this, but I would think you'd want to have considered that as a insurance policy. That, you know, if they get all that melting up there, they're going to have to let the water out somehow, and it's going to come down here right when we don't want it. So it just seems to me that it makes sense to.
Tyhat is actually just a puddle compared to what's going to come off that hill. We could drain it down, we could drain it 30 feet, and in 2 days it'll be overflowed.
It's got an overflow, pretty much.
Yeah.
Bypasses any runoff.
Are you having some Pactola flashbacks?
Kind of. Well, you know, it just seemed to me that I remember once in the over in Pier at the Wahi Dam that they had a plumb full and they got all this moisture up in Montana and went down the Missouri River, and next thing you know, they were letting water out at the same time that there was too much water around, and one of the, well, just lots of houses that had water up to their countertops, and I don't know if it would have happened that way anyway, but they were letting out water out right when somebody looks, drives by and looks at it, why would you do that? Well, you gotta do this, and so it's worried about those kinds of things, I guess. Maybe I'm a little paranoid.
And there's not much flood control in Tyhat.
There isn't.
No.
And the bunch of water that we get when the creek starts blowing Tyhat, coming.
Oh, yeah.
So I know it is all that. So
I used to have more work for Clear Creek, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the North Pole has nothing to do with that. Okay,
let's North Fork and Clear Creek.
Middle Fork, too.
I was just going to give a quick update on I met with the Suicide Prevention Council last week. They have some concerns with the ordinance that I'm proposing with Open Container being downtown. And I just wanted to fill you guys in. It was a great conversation. Let them know kind of where I was coming from personally on this deal, trying to increase revenue so that hopefully we can hand out more 1% sales tax to help some of these organizations. They brought up some good points and concerns, and then I think you and I have discussed most of them, Chief, but we might do some follow-up with that council and just let them know that we're trying to pass this ordinance responsibly and make sure that it's works for everyone and not just the business owners downtown. So just wanted to give everyone a heads up and an update on that. I can pass those meeting minutes along if you guys want more details. But and then I think JOCO First doesn't meet until tomorrow, so I don't have anything on that.
The only thing that I have is JOCO and the CJC, Criminal Justice Board. I would probably expect and ask from both of those boards to the city for this year's budget. A couple of numbers have been floated around. I don't think, if I remember right, they really haven't asked for much over the last couple of years.
JOCO?
Well, yeah, JOCO's always asked.
Well, and did they turn in a 1% application?
I haven't received
them. Well, we didn't get it. Maybe the county. I'll check with them. But that's usually how it's funded. But I know they want to be on the regular general fund budget.
Yeah. So I would expect probably a larger ask this year. NUI meeting, I do believe, currently is scheduled for the 18th in Douglas. However, with the passing of Mayor Renee, I think it's still a go, but we'll see. And then the Charitable Foundation has one on the 21st, which Councilman Camino is now a member of that board, so that's what I got.
There was an email yesterday from the city administrator Douglas about the new year.
Yeah.
So I think it's still a go.
I'm not sure. Do you get the new ones? I'll make sure you know Mike are on that. So the only thing that I have, next department head meeting is April 4th. I keep waiting for one to land on April 4th. It hasn't happened yet. So.
Do you want to have a meeting with the liquor dealers regarding that ordinance for open container?
Yeah, I know we talked about doing that. I think it would be a good idea.
I think it's drafted, other than did we decide on where the area is? I know at one time we said we were going to do the B3, which is the downtown district, and we can exclude pieces from it. That's how Laramie did theirs. The only reason I suggest that is when we did the B3, I remember Bill Novotny wanted their building on Angus included in the B3. So if you're going to allow open container there, you got a baseball park right across the street. So maybe we just do Main Street from...
So I just want to say that during that prevention council, I did say that my intention is not to have an open container ordinance in the parks. And so if there are things and concerts in Presinsky Park, they would still need to come to council for a special permit. I guess that was my intention. I wanted it to stay on the Main Street corridor and not to venture bleed out too far, particularly to the parks. So I did make that comment to that group, and I would want to stand behind that.
Okay. And then I suppose where Yanni's is, you'd want that included, and that's maybe in the B3.
It is.
And maybe we start with B3 and then exclude things rather than create anything. We'll just start with B3, excluding. I know in Laramie there must be a jail or something down there, and they excluded the jail from open container. I don't know why.
Law, most of Lobbins all be on the backside of Lobbin.
Oh, and so I don't know if we want to wrap it, because there's residents down there. And
yeah, that's something to know, because it is B3 on Lobbin.
So maybe
B3 on the park side, Presinsky Park side, all those buildings on the back are B3.
So maybe we don't start with B3. Maybe we just say from Main Street, from Angus to Holland.
Right.
So can I ask about the Laramie? When they did that, I've been there for their farmers markets, and they have an area, but it's blocked off and there's no traffic. So did they extend that so it's in trafficked areas also? Because like Sheridan, even when they do theirs, it's they block off Main Street, and then so there's not alcohol and motorized vehicles.
Yeah. I think Laramie, correct me if I'm wrong, I kind of looked at it, and it's at any time. I don't think it's just blocked off. I think it's in that normal area. I mean, it doesn't have to be blocked off, but it can still carry an open container.
And this was because of COVID that, you know, people couldn't, they had to social distance. So during that 1 year, they did it from Memorial Day until Labor Day. Then they extended it after Jubilee Day. And the first year they did it, it was just like Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. And then the next year they came back, and I think it was every day, but, and I think they limited the hours. And I think to make it cleaner, you're okay with it could be year-round, and it's all the time. I mean, that's
yeah,
a big part
of it. I mean, I don't personally have a problem with it. I mean, I see it in that folks that are going to, like, it doesn't change the fact that, you know, it doesn't give it someone a better opportunity to be underage and drinking, right? That doesn't change. Obviously, it doesn't. If I see somebody walking down the street that's 16 years old with an open container, it's just reasonable to give suspicion to stop and make sure that they're of age. And, you know, that doesn't change. You know, we discussed about the plastic. We have bars and here and liquor stores here that we can go to the drive-thru window and pick up alcohol and drive away with it through a drive-thru window. So if we're trusting folks and not drink and drive, I don't see where it would change in that. A responsible adult goes into the Occidental and wants to sit on a chair at a table out front, which is on a public street, right? You can't do it now. To have dinner and have a drink, I don't think it's going to promote overindulgence. I mean, bars still have a legal responsibility to not overserve, to check IDs. I don't think it creates anything different. I mean, those responsibilities don't change. It just gives some folks an opportunity to be on the streets and be responsible. And if you're not, then we'll take care of it. But I think we do a good job now. We don't have many issues. I mean, folks that want to go and have a drink, I think they're 98% of the people are responsible about it. And the folks that aren't, we take care of it. And so nothing would change there. You know what I mean?
I know a lot of cities or businesses and cities that don't have a container, they put outside seating, especially because of COVID, so that the liquor
right.
just remained in that area and
right.
did not travel.
Right.
And my educational background and kids, I'm not real for this, John. I'm sorry.
No, I figured you weren't.
Well, as dusty as it is now, because of the sand.
That's the that one. Yeah.
It's
going to
sit out there
anyway. Yeah. You
know, is this creating issues with YDOT being on the highway or anything? I mean, as far as that goes?
Good question.
I don't know. I don't know if there's rules with YDOT on either.
That is a good question. I think I was going to actually look into that, so I'd probably do that.
Well, you know, if this thing goes through, the first year, so it's going to be under construction anyway.
Right.
That eliminates my traffic issue.
Yeah, a lot of people staggering in the open pits.
So when I set that meeting up, in my recollection with the liquor dealers, because they're always manning their businesses in the afternoon, it'll probably be a 7 a.m. meeting because that's when they're available.
That's great.
Okay, more meetings.
Yay!
Anybody have anything new?